Because some of the words in the songs are in the message. And Joshua doesn't even live with us anymore. So there's no way he knew what I prepared, and there's no way I knew what he prepared. So I want to thank our worship team this morning. We are blessed, church. We are blessed. I'm a musician. I know some of them are my children. But as I stand down there and I listen to it, I think, wow, Lord, we are blessed, church. We've got a good worship team, and we appreciate you guys. Where the rest of you sing, yes, amen. We love you, and we appreciate you. We appreciate your effort. Appreciate your practice. And we appreciate your commitment to the Lord. May it continue. And while I'm saying that, church, I've had on my heart for a while now, and I keep forgetting to say it, but I'd like nothing more than for us to have a church choir as well. Not to add to the worship team, separate from the worship team, because I believe there's a place for that too. So, if you can sing, and the Lord's given you a calling for that, come speak to me. Come speak to me. I don't know if I'm up to it. You can hear what's happening with me. So. But I believe there's a place for it. And if you've had experience with conducting a choir or been in a choir and you understand how it should be conducted, come speak to me. If you don't, then Kirsty's going to have to help. And she says, but Dad, I've got too much on my plate already. Don't worry, Kirsty, we'll draw you in one way or another. Because I'm Dad, I'm allowed to do things like that. I am. Tugia, if you can, I'm battling a bit here, so I don't know if I bring it up, it's going to start echoing. Is that better? Did that help a bit? I bring it up some more. Awesome, Darcel. You also, can you all hear me? I'm the one with the problem. We prayed for people with ears and eyes last week, and we asked for miracles to take place. Can I see a I'm taking a step of faith here. Can I see a show of hands? Did anybody receive a miracle last week? No hands, not even one. I see a hand. Oh, it's Rudy. Is there anybody else? Can I see a show of hands? Is there anybody that got prayed for? Church, we need more faith. There's Donald. He's putting up his hand. Thank you, Donald. He did tell me before this service. Can we give the Lord praise? Hallelujah. And I believe there's more miracles. If it's not here, then you need to speak it into being, church. Amen. Even me, we prayed for me. Prayed for my hearing. And we need to trust God to perform miracles. And He is performing miracles. And Donald, I trust not just that, but that stuff totally disappears. When you go to that doctor, you're going to say, my money is saved. Thank you, Lord. Amen. You can give the Lord something. He gives to the Lord in any case. I don't know what I'm going to do this morning, church. I've got a message, but I just feel that we need to flow a little bit in the Spirit. So let's just see what God's going to do for a moment. That's why I'm kind of stumbling over my words. Maybe I must do what I can do. Sorry. Connor, just for your benefit, the water baptism that we prepared for is not going to take place. We can pray for Peter. Apparently his child died in the week. I wasn't aware. Somebody let me know this morning. So he won't be here for water baptism. I don't know why Joshua plays with this heavy thing. Surprised he's not like me. I used to break strings every time I looked at the guitar. Just close your eyes. I don't know what's going to happen now. I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice, sorry. To worship you, oh my soul, rejoice. Take joy, Mikey. Come on, you can lift your voice. In what you feel,
let it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear. Let's sing it again. I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice. Oh, I lift my voice.
Of the Holy Spirit. Precious Spirit. Precious. Precious. We welcome you here. This morning, precious babe. Samba rabashi arabashande ke siriene. Just stay in the spirit, church, just for a moment. Le barabashunde. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Sambarabasunduku siri. Bless you. Bless you. Thank you.
Is your heart broken? Is your heart bleeding? Because you've given it to things. You've given your heart to your work. You've given your heart to people. And it's been broken. And it's bleeding. And the Lord would say, come, give your heart to him. Give your heart to me. I will never break it. My heart was broken for you so that I can mend your broken heart. The Lord would say, come this morning. Come. Give me your heart. Give me your brokenness. I want to bring healing. I want to bring wholeness because of my brokenness for you. I want to put my arms around you and I want to bring healing. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah.
I believe now we need to respond. And there were two main portions of that prophetic utterance. One, you can just hear the Lord's heart for his people. He said, who does your heart belong to? Does it belong to somebody else that's hurt you? Does it belong to your work? Or does it belong to me? He prayed in the prayer meeting this morning. He said, Lord, that people will be saved, will give their hearts to you. If you need to give your heart to Jesus this morning, then I want you to put up your hand. Is that you? If somebody wants to give their heart to Jesus this morning, you've never asked him. Somebody else is in charge of your heart. Somebody else is in charge of your heart. Right, we're going to pray. Is there anybody else? Y'all put up your hand high. There's no shame in this. There's no shame in this. There's no shame in this. Let's close our eyes. We're going to pray. I want the whole church to pray. Say, Lord Jesus, we respond to your word this morning. You haven't had my heart. But this morning, I take my heart away from anything else that it has belonged to. And I give it to you where it belongs. Take my heart this morning. It's yours. I give it to you alone. And I thank you that my life will never be the same. In Jesus' name. Amen. And then you may be sitting here. This is the second part. You may be hurting this morning. There's pain in your heart. There's pain in your heart because your heart has also maybe been focused in the wrong place. You know, people are able to hurt us because we make ourselves vulnerable. Circumstances are able to hurt us because we open up our hearts to circumstances. But when Jesus owns our heart, we can look past the pain. We can see past the pain. So we see Jesus. He becomes bigger than the pain and the problem. Amen. If that's you this morning and you need healing from your pain, I'm not going to call you forward. Close your eyes. Put up your hand. Put up your hand. Lord, there's lots of people in this house this morning that need a touch from you. You are our healer. We sang it this, I believe you're my healer. I believe you are all I need. You're more than enough for me. Lord, let that be the case this morning. For every hand that is lifted here, and every hand that's not lifted. Be our healer. In Jesus' name. We thank you for it. It's done. In Jesus' name. And we thank you for your love. We pray as we continue with this service. That your wonderful, amazing presence that's upon us right now will continue. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Can we give the Lord praise? Lord, you're worthy. You're worthy. Church, I want to thank you for being sensitive. I knew there was something that I couldn't just go on when I stood up here this morning. But now I can, because the release has come. Thank you, Gail, for being obedient. Now normally, if somebody's not a member of our church, we wouldn't let them give a word like that. But Gail has been a regular visit. She's a solid lady in the Lord. And I'm not trying to just blow your trumpet, my sister. She comes to our intercessory meetings. I want to encourage you, if you're an intercessor, you need to be on a Friday morning. It's a different prayer meeting. Let me tell you, it's different. Amen. We can pray down, tear down strongholds in any meeting, but if there's a meeting where we're going to tear down strongholds, it'll be that meeting. And let me tell you, church, I'm not always there, but I know they've got my back. Can I hear another amen? I want to thank, yeah. Church, we've got to get involved. It's time. Conrad said it a few times this morning. We've got to step up. It was you who said that, Conrad. I don't know why. Somebody said we've got to step up. Who said we've got to step up? Somebody said it this morning. Somebody in front here. We've got to step up and be counted. Anyway, we've got to step up and be counted. So, interesting name, Phantomize. I don't even know if it's a word, okay? All right, but don't you like my word art there and my graphic abilities? They're phenomenal, aren't they? Now I'm blowing my own little trumpet. Thank goodness for the internet and pictures and software that can do things. Okay? But I was quite impressed with it, I must tell you. All right? Maybe we'll put it on a banner outside. No, we won't. Can you all hear me? I'm battling to hear me. Can you hear me? Lord, please help me with my ears. Maybe just bring it up on the monitors here a bit. Just watch it. I don't feed feedback. Have you sometimes wondered why you've prayed? We've been trusting God. Maybe you're going through a trial right now. Some people put up their hands that are going through a trial right now. But it seems like the answer doesn't come. I mean, if I were to ask for a show of hands this morning, who's got a need here? Who's got something they need? Put up your hands. Amen. I mean, almost all of us, 90%, 100% of us have got a need this morning. So this morning, I'm not even going to spend long on an introduction. This morning, I want to encourage you on three things. I want to encourage you about who our Lord and Savior really is. And if you listen to the songs we sang this morning, the songs declared who He is. You hold my whole life in your hand. It doesn't quite sound like that, but it's something like that. Amen? I might sing a bit this morning. I don't know. You can hear me croaking. So I'll croak a bit this morning. I want to build up your faith. And I want to let you in on one of Jesus' secrets to success. And not necessarily in those orders. So I want you to know who Jesus is. I want to build up your faith. What was the third one? I want to tell you one of Jesus' secrets to success. Those three things. And by the Lord's grace, I'll tell you that this morning. In Matthew, if you open your Bibles, I've got a passage I want to read. It's our main passage. Keep your Bible there. Should I say keep your Bible open there? Matthew 12, verse 22 to 33. Immediately, Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side. While he sent the multitudes away. Wasn't that an interesting point? It's not even my sermon. But I was thinking, even as I was praying, or this morning as I went through it again, Jesus made his disciples get in the boat while he sent the multitudes away. Sometimes when we get ourselves into a position of leadership, we say, I lead, you follow, I lead, you do the work. But Jesus sent them away and he did the work. And I think that's a wake-up call for somebody here this morning. Just because you're the boss doesn't mean that you call the shots all the time. Amen. The kingdom of God is not a kingdom where the leaders walk roughshod over the people. I'm not hearing many amens here this morning. But I know that I had to say that this morning. Jesus sent the people away. I can tell you, sometimes in the church it works that way. Everybody's had a great time, had a lovely meal. You've gone home, and the pastor and his wife and maybe one or two other people are finishing up and tidying up. It shouldn't really be that way, but it's okay. It's okay, because the greatest in the kingdom is the servant of all. Amen. But not one of us is too good to do something or to pick up a paper or to encourage somebody. You must realize that. Jesus wasn't too good to send the multitude away. Surely he should have got in the boat and let his disciples send them away. No. He said, you go ahead of me. I'll finish off here. It's an interesting character of Christ, hey? But that's not what the message is about. Jylle moet bietjie amen sê vanoggend. I need you to encourage me, church. And when he had sent the multitudes away, when he had finished his job, hey, was bietjie moeg geweest. Who's ever been tired after doing something in the church or after a hard day's work? Who's ever been tired? I can tell you, me, right? mean, it's just the beginning of March, and I feel like I already need a holiday. And I haven't, you know, Pastor only works on the Sunday, so I haven't been even working hard like you guys. Okay, some of you are awake. Come on, church, you need to be alive this morning. All right, amen. Yes, you shout amen. Hallelujah. Now, when evening came, he was alone there. He was alone. But and he went by himself to pray. He went by himself to pray. Now, sorry, I'm getting a little bit confused, right? And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up the mountain by himself to pray. Now, when in the evening came, he was alone there. So he had been up on the mountain praying on his own. You don't have to wait for the prayer meeting to pray, church. Amen. A lot of you, we don't see in the prayer meetings. And maybe you're waiting for the prayer meeting to pray, which means you're not praying. Okay, but I'll get there. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves. Even that, we sang about it this morning, about being in the storm and in the sea. For the wind was contrary, so the wind caused the waves. Now in the fourth watch, at 3 o'clock in the morning of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It's a ghost!" Woo! And they cried out for fear. Let me tell you what, I might have also cried out for fear if I were them. If you're in the middle of a storm, in the middle of the sea, and all of a sudden you see somebody walk down the water, jy gaan bietjie skrik. For those that don't understand Afrikaans, you're going to get a fright. Amen. And they cried out in fear, but immediately Jesus spoke to them and saying, "Be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." So he said, "Come." And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. What an amazing thing. What a phenomenal thing. He walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid. And he beginning to sink, he cried out saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" I just want to stop right there and I want to tell you there are two immediatelys. The first immediately was there was a people in fear because they saw what they thought there was a ghost. And the second immediately was Peter. He was walking on the water. Next thing he started to sink. And there was a crisis. It's the Holy Spirit, and I can't hold myself back. And there was a crisis situation, but immediately Jesus was there in both of those situations. You may be in a situation this morning, but I want to tell you, when you cry out to the Lord, immediately He's with you. Immediately. Say with me, immediately. Hallelujah. And that's also not my message, but God is moving here this morning, and He will say what He will say. Hallelujah. And He said, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, I'd love to put in the word immediately, the wind ceased. But it doesn't say immediately, it just says the wind ceased. It was a non-event. All right, the wind ceased. Because when Jesus is on board, it's a non-event. Church, can you understand what I'm saying to you this morning? It's a non-event. Nothing. We say, "Nothing is impossible for you." Sorry, I'm going off now, but my voice is clear. All right, wait till I'm done with this message. Really, Lord, help me. I really know better than this, but I can't. I'm going to just preach it as it is. The wind ceased. Then those who were in the boat came and worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." I believe Jesus wanted to teach his disciples something in this account. And I want you to just bear in mind that in the Bible there are two accounts of them being on the wind and the waves. So one, there was a storm on the water, and Jesus was already in the boat with him. He was fast on his slot. And they came to him and they said, "Don't you care?" And this is another account. And I believe this account must have come afterwards. And I'll tell you just now why. It was a second account of Jesus and his disciples in the water. And there was wind and waves. He wanted to teach them something. There was a reason. He said, "You go. I'll stay here." There was a reason for it. It says, he made them go. In some translations, the word "made" is translated. He compelled them. He didn't give them a choice about the matter. He was in charge. He was large and in charge. And he said, "Disciples," Peter probably said, "Yeah, but Lord, we were the..." "You go." "Didn't I say go?" go. I don't know if I'm just exaggerating, but I'm trying to make a point here. He said, go. That's a compelled. You compel them. When you speak to a demon and you know who you are, you say, go. And they're compelled to go. Church, we got to start believing it. Too few people said amen. I want to, if we say to a demon, go, what must happen? He must tell him, go. He wanted to teach them something. The first thing I want to tell you is that even Jesus, the one that we sang about this morning, the one that holds the whole world in his hand, even he needs to go alone and spend time with his Father in prayer. Jesus, the creator of heaven and earth. I'll read to you here from John 1, verse 1 to 3, in case you're querying, but Jesus didn't create. Of course he did. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus is God. Say it with me, Jesus is God. It's time you realize that, church. He's not a phantom. He was in the beginning with God. Listen to what it says. I'm not talking about God. It says Jesus. All things were made through him. All things were made through him. And without him, nothing was made that was made. Colossians 1 verse 17 from the Amplified. And he himself existed before all things. And in him all things consist. Say all things consist. In who? In who? Jesus. All things. And yet Jesus himself, the one who created everything, he spoke and it happened. He went to his Father and he prayed. And he prayed. Now if Jesus realized the necessity to separate himself and spend some time with his Father in church, what does it say about you and I? What does it say about you and me? Do we need to spend time with our Heavenly Father? No, we're too good. We're superheroes. Amen? I can just hoy off a quick prayer there. Take him not so seriously. Harry casual. I took off my tie this morning. I'm a bit Harry casual. But there's a reason for it. I'll tell you just now. And just now when I took it off, I didn't know why I was. I'm doing spiritual stuff this morning, okay? Are you listening, church? God wants to tell us something this morning. We chuck off a quick prayer to God. Oh, Lord, help me. And yes, sometimes we can do that because you've got to have a relationship with him. But some of us, our prayer life consists of that. Can I hear an amen? Amen. For some of us, our prayer life is just that. There's no real time of prayer. There's just quick. Oh, Jesus, will you help me? Or, you know, we don't pray ever. And then all of a sudden a crisis. Oh, Lord, I need you. But we need to separate ourselves regularly. Jesus had been highly successful. He'd ministered to the people. There were droves of them and he sent them off home. He was tired. Phew, I'm too tired to go to church today. Phew, I don't think I'm going to pray tonight. I don't think I'm going to get up this morning and pray. I had a rough night last night. No, Jesus went and spent time with his Father. The one who created heaven and earth. He said, I need to spend time with my Father. I need to go and refire. Why? Because the next day, he was going to get to the other side of the lake. But you know what he had to do between the next day and then? He needed to go and walk on the water. And he needed to still and calm the seas. Do you think he could have done it without Father God's help? No. He needed God to help him. Church, there's some of us that need to walk on water. There's some of us that are in a boat that is being tossed around by wind and waves. There's some of us that are going to step out the boat and we start to sink. Jesus! But you need to be prayed up. You need to spend time with the Lord. It's one of the keys. Jesus had a key. That's the secret I spoke about. His secret was time with his Father. And as we read, if you go and read through the Gospels, time and again, Jesus separated himself. Spend time alone with God. No, it's too easy. I'll just WhatsApp 100 friends and ask them to pray for me. Isn't it what you do, church? I made it not personal. I asked you the question. Oh, pastor, pray for me. Yes, I'll pray for you. But have you been praying for you? Amen? Can I hear an amen? Well, you can say amen if you want to. Could it be that sometimes our prayers don't seem answered and our breakthrough doesn't come because we're too casual about our relationship and dependency on Father God? Because that's the world we live in today. Instant coffee, microwave, takeaway Jesus. I'll just go to the Jesus takeaway. That's Sunday morning in church, just by the way. Okay? This is your takeaway. Right? Take something away from you this morning. But don't think that you can live the whole week on it, because you can't. It's good enough for today. It's good enough for now. But it's not good enough for your life. Next week, if I ask you what I preach about today, half of you won't remember. So you need Jesus every day. His word brings life. Maybe you've sent a quick prayer here and a quick one there. Maybe you've asked somebody to pray for you, but you haven't spent time in the presence of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, church. It'll change your life. Say amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Could it be that we see ourselves a little bit like Peter in this account? If it's you, Lord, tell me to come and walk on the water with you. I'm going to be the big man that walks on the water. And he was the big man that walked on the water. Nobody else has done it. Not that I'm aware of. I don't see any other. There's only two people in the Bible that walked on water. Jesus and Peter. Amen? But do you know what we do? When we think we can go through the trials of life in a quick prayer here and a quick prayer there, we take on the hero mentality. And we say, just like Peter, I'll say, can I come to you? And I'll step out on the water. And the next thing, I start to sink. You didn't spend enough time in the Lord's presence. I'm not saying that Peter didn't spend time in the Lord's presence. I'm not taking a little bit of poetic, license. But are you getting the point, church? We make ourselves a hero because we trust in us and we don't trust in God. Don't phantomize Jesus. And you are not a superhero either. I can tell you that now. Nor am I. Let me tell you, Peter couldn't even walk on this, on solid ground, except that the Lord gave him ability. Nor can you and I. We would float. Gravity would let us go. Or we'd sink in. There's accounts in the Bible of how the ground opened up and just swallowed people. The only reason you and I breathe today is because of Jesus. You don't even have another second of life except for Jesus. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That means we need to seek His face. We need to be totally dependent on Him. Not just partially dependent. And dependent on Him when we need Him. And dependent on Him when it suits us. All the time. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
I'm here to build up your faith this morning. I'm not moaning at you. I'm saying, do you realize how dependent you are on Father God and on Lord Jesus and on the presence of His Holy Spirit in your life? The triune Godhead. We rely on Him for everything. Now I'll get to the point about not phantomizing Jesus. In our text, we then read, in that scripture I read to you, the boat was now in the middle of the sea. In the middle of the sea. It wasn't a storm. The wind was just blowing. Okay? But it lifted the water up. The waves. Tossed by the waves. The wind was contrary. It was like they were living in the windy city in PE. Amen? And when the disciples saw him, and now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it's a ghost. I don't know how many of you have been out at sea. I've had the privilege of being on a fishing charter, going out to sea. I think it was the first one. Josh is not sitting here to attest it, but him and I went out on a fishing charter. It was the first one. People told us, you've got to look at the horizon, otherwise you're going to get seasick. So we were trying to look at the horizon, but it was quite a windy day. And the troughs and the, what do you call them? I've got them on that. But the waves were, the troughs were deep, and the crests and the troughs. So we go to the top, and then you could see the horizon, and we go to the bottom. And all you can see is the top of the next wave. Okay? It was kind of scary. And of course, Josh and I decided, well, we're going to feed the fish. You know? And the workers on the boat were teasing us. But praise the Lord, He had mercy, because then we started catching fish, and it was a great distraction, and we stopped feeding the fish. We started catching them instead. And we took a lot of fish off the boat that day. But can you just imagine what it must have been like? The wind was blowing. That boat was doing that. It was getting tossed. The wind was blowing its sails. The sails were making a noise. It was rough on that boat. And of course, the next day it was dark. I mean, I've never been on the sea in the dark. It must be horrible because you don't see lights. It's pitch dark unless it's full moon. And here they are. And the next thing, they see this robed figure coming, walking towards them on the waves. Ooh, I might have also said, oh, it's a ghost. But they had been with Jesus. These people should have known better. They'd been in his presence. So I can kind of understand why they felt that way, but in some ways I don't understand it. They thought they saw a ghost. If I go to the translations, it says a spirit. You can't be afraid of a spirit, church. We cast spirits out. You can't be afraid of a spirit. You can't phantomize Jesus and see him as a spirit. I know he's spirit, and you and I are spirit people, but he's not a spirit. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. If you look up the Strong's Concordance in the original Greek, the name is phantasma, meaning a specter or a spirit. We get the English word phantom from it. Hence me naming this message, don't phantomize Jesus. Don't see him as a ghost. Don't see him as something that he's not. They'd been around Jesus. Even if he was, even if it wasn't Jesus, even if it was a phantom coming on the water towards them. You know what they should have done? We've done it before. We've got the authority of Jesus. We've seen it. We've seen him cast him out. Let's cast him out. Go! Bloop, 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 bloop. That's if it wasn't Jesus. Amen? Church, we know the truth. We know it. We've lived it. We've experienced it. We have the authority. And yet when things start going wrong, what do? We cower back in fear. Oh, it's a spirit. This problem is far too big for me to handle. The wind and the waves. Are you with me, church? You're supposed to be laughing at me. I'm trying to be funny while I'm being serious. Are you with me? Don't phantomize Jesus. It wasn't a spirit coming walking on the water. It was the one who holds the whole earth in his hand. And he controls it. Gravity exists because of him. If we go and read in the Old Testament, Joshua, he prayed, they were at war. He prayed, Lord, stop the sun. It was almost like a command. Stop the sun. It stopped right there. Can you imagine if the earth stopped? We would have carried going at 300 and whatever thousand k's an hour. We would have hit the other side of the universe already. In fact, we wouldn't have been here. He stopped the sun. He holds it in his hand. Okay. Don't worry, gravity. You'll be sorted out. That is who was coming, walking on the water. The one who spoke and everything happened. Everything took place. Was walking on the water towards them. They said it's a ghost. It wasn't the ghost. It was Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Can I hear you saying amen? And as I was reading that, and as I was listening to it, I thought about it. And I thought about how we sometimes make Jesus a phantom. And I'll explain it to you just now. Why was it that the disciples found it so easy to believe? Because they were fishermen. And in there were deep-seated beliefs and deep-seated fishermen's tales and deep-seated superstitions. And if you think it's not the truth, think about Jonah on the boat. And it was the same thing. If you're going to, it's literally a duplicate. The wind came up and the waves were high. It didn't say they were in the middle of a storm and the boat was taking on water. And they all started praying to their little false gods and nothing happened. And their superstitions took over. Somebody has done something wrong on the boat. Well, they were right, actually. But how willing were they just to chuck Jonah off the side? I mean, think about it. How stupid was that? Chuck him off. Kunk. All right? But it was part of God's plan and purpose. But they were superstitious. Something's wrong. That's why the storm is here. They weren't men and women of God that had the spirit of discernment in them. They were just sailors that worshipped foreign gods. So you can't say, no, it was their discernment. It wasn't. And all of us sometimes have some deep-seated fears in our lives. I trust that you don't have superstition. Amen? Amen. If I put up a ladder here, will you walk under it? Amen. And there was old ladies, old wives' stories about salt. You've got to chuck it over you, otherwise someone's going, oh, I can't remember all that rubbish. I've moved along. Imagine casting lots. They cast lots. They threw the dice. Okay, it's Jonah. Overboard. Superstitions. But I believe there's another way we can see it too. Phantoms. They believed that Jesus really was a phantom. And the day that we are in, we're at risk for a different reason. We're at risk because of this. We're at risk because of all the stories we see, all the movies, 3D, it makes it look real. If you watch TV, there's always some hero or superhero that can do supernatural things. They're the figments of man's imagination. The word fantasize comes from the same base word, phantasma. And fantasize speaks about, it's the link between unreality and reality. We can fantasize about something taking place. We start fantasizing about Jesus. But what we do is we make him a storybook character. And that's the point I want to make this morning. Instead of him being Jesus, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, he's not. He's the one we were taught about in children's church. He's the one that our parents read to out of bedtime stories. And the Bible is just a series of stories. They're nice stories. He's a superhero. There's even songs in the children that the children sing, Jesus, you're my superhero. No, he's not. He's the King of Kings and he's the Lord of Lords. He controls the whole universe. Hallelujah. And the minute we start seeing him as a storybook character, you know what happens? We cannot have enough faith to believe him in our circumstances. There was no ways that a ghost could have calmed the waters and stilled the sea. There was no ways that a ghost could have made Peter walk on the water. But Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the ruler of the universe could. Amen. And that's the one that you serve today. I want to tell you this morning, you serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Stop thinking about him as a storybook character. We think fondly about Jesus. We love the stories about Jesus. But it's time that we connect the truth. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords to our faith. I shall walk by faith and not by sight. I'm not seeing a phantom. I'm seeing Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And he will change my circumstances. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Hallelujah. And I believe that's the revelation the Lord gave me about this picture. That's why I used a funny word. It's time we stopped phantomizing Jesus. There's a no entry sign there. He's not a superhero. He's not a figment of man's imagination. Nobody sat down and wrote, ooh, we will write this great story and we'll put it in a big book. And one day people will worship this story. He's not a storybook character. The Word of God, here's my Bible. This is not a storybook. There are a lot of stories in here, but it's all the truth. Yes, there's some stories. Jesus taught through telling stories. Sorry, I'm spitting. Let me step back here. Vanessa, I'm excited, okay? Jesus used stories, okay? He used parables. They weren't true stories, but he used them to teach. But the accounts we read about in here, the story about Jesus is the truth. It's a truthful account. It's not a lie. It's not some made-up imaginary thing, phantasm or fantasizing. It wasn't some story, because if you read it from beginning to end, it links together beautifully. Well, it's written by many writers, but the inspirer was the powerful and most present Spirit of the living God. Hallelujah. And he is the track that allowed it to all flow. Church, are you catching what I'm trying to say to you this morning? We must stop seeing Jesus, even when we have faith. Lord, I'll pray, and then I'm going to hope for the best. I'll pray, and I'll hope you'll answer my prayer. That's not who we serve. That's not who we serve. Church, we've been believing a lie. We're believing a phantom. Maybe. By coincidence, what I'm praying for will come to pass. I promise you, it's deeply ingrained in some of us. And we need to come away from it. We're still living in, growing up in Bible storybooks. No. Even for the children in the children's church, he's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Not just a nice story. It's lovely hearing about Daniel in the lion's den. It's lovely hearing about David and Goliath. It's lovely about hearing Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego that came out of the fiery furnace. It's lovely hearing about Jesus who went to the cross, the Lamb slain for us. But unless we believe he's the truth, nothing will change in our lives. Nothing. You'll be a phantom. Stop serving him as though he's a phantom. It's not in my notes. We serve him as though he's a storybook character. Today I'll serve you, Jesus, with all my heart. Tomorrow I won't. The next day I'll serve you with all my heart, and then I'll backslide for a couple of weeks. And then I'll get on fire for a month or two, and I'll serve you as though you're the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. But then I'm going to revert to my old storybook ways and make you a phantom again, a figment of my imagination, just a nice story. Are you with me, church? The one that can meet you in your need today is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Created the heavens and the earth. You breathe because of him. You walk because of him. Look, you don't even fly off of this earth because of lack of gravity. Because of him. He holds it all together in his hands. Oh, you know what? I was told that I preached to this other church. Come, let me preach to this side of the church. Do you understand, church? You serve the living God. Let me step back. You serve the living God. Jesus Christ is the King of Kings. Say it with me, King of Kings. Lord of Lords. My God. My King. My Redeemer. The answer to my prayers. My miracle maker. His blood has power. He's not a phantom. He's not a spirit. He gives me authority over spirits. Yeah, I'm back on the side. Hallelujah. Amen. Yeah. You know, I've got to preach more to this side than to that side. Because they're the ones with all the faith. I'm just joking. I'm just joking. By the way, church, you know what a blessing it is to see our growing church? I don't know if I can count, but I'm seeing a lot less empty chairs. Praise the Lord for that. Amen. Because Jesus will fill this place up. Not me. Not me. I'm not a superhero. You see, the problem with that story is we've always seen Peter as the superhero in that story. He's the one who got out and walked on the water. We can learn a lot from that because God says to us we need to walk on the water. But God wasn't trying to show him that. And let me get to you why there's two accounts of the disciples. I'm almost finished, church. Hopefully I've been preaching exciting enough to keep you awake. Because I'm excited. There's two accounts of the disciples in boats on the water. Okay? The first one, and I believe it was the first one. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm lost Dr. Shirley or Dr. Frank. But I don't actually care. Alright? In my heart, I believe there's two reasons. Jesus was in the boat with them. They went to him and they said, Master, don't you care that we're going to drown? But Jesus had said, we're going to the other side. They didn't put it together. Jesus said it was going to happen. It didn't matter what the water and the waves did. That boat could have been under the water. They would have still got to the other side. Because Jesus was with them. And he spoke. And the storm died. And the wind dropped. And the waves, it was peaceful. It was still. Jesus was in the boat with them. And I could have preached about that this morning. And they looked at one another and said, who is this man that he commands even the wind and the waves and they obey him? But the penny didn't drop. They were with him. The next day, they went out with him and he did miracles and he cast out demons and he fed maybe 5,000. I don't know. I don't know if I got my order right here. Okay, so I'm just surmising. But they saw the miracles he did. And Jesus said, well, I've had you guys in the boat once, but you still didn't learn the lesson. So let me take you out in the boat again. Let me send you out in the boat. Let me see if you can learn the lesson this time. Church, sometimes the Lord needs to take us around the mountain. Okay? So lo and behold, yeah, the disciples are in the boat again. And it's tough on the water. And this time he comes walking on the water. I think he's a phantom. But when he was done, immediately, Peter stopped sinking. Immediately got in the boat. What? Immediately? Sorry? Yeah, the winds calmed down. Immediately. Got in the boat. And let me read you what it says. It says this. If I can find it, because I've now, I've moved so far away from where I was. The wind and the waves stopped when Jesus got in the boat. There is no record that he said, be still. It just got calm. Then the disciples responded in a different way. The first time they said, who is this man? We sang it. Some say you're just a good man. Some say you are wise. Some say you're... whatever. Okay. The first time they said, who on earth is this man? He controls the wind and the wave. You know what they said the second time? They worshipped him. They said, truly, you are the Son of God. The penny dropped. They realized that he was the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That's why they had to go around the mountain another time. When we fantasize Jesus, you carry on going around that mountain. You'll land up in that wind and the waves in the middle of the sea in your problem. But the moment the penny drops and you realize that the Son of God is the Son of God, you will get victory. Oh, I only got three amens there. Sure. Today is the day to change our mind and see Jesus Christ, the all-powerful one, for he really is. He is the Son of God. Amen. Jesus, Maria, Jesus, Son of God, Son of David, have mercy on me. David could never have had mercy on them. He could have. Okay, he might not have chopped their heads off or stabbed them or whatever. But he could never have saved their souls. Only Jesus can do that. Amen. Don't pass me by this morning. I want you to stand with me, church. There's so much more in these notes, Marachanai. So stop. I spoke to you about three things this morning. Jesus' secret ingredient was prayer. Spending time alone with his Father. Secondly, I've spoken to you about not phantomizing Jesus. Hopefully you understand what I'm trying to say. Stop seeing him as a storybook character. See him as who he is, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Believe when you pray that he will meet you in the middle of your needs. That is what you need to do. That's what you need to do. Let's stop phantomizing him. Let's start praying by faith. Even though we don't see it, we pray by faith and say, Lord, I know that you came, creator of heaven and earth. You came as a baby in a manger. You lived. You died on the cross for me. Your blood was shed. Can I ask that we get to Dave, if somebody can help you, maybe Mark, you can just help Dave. Here comes Connor. Just to bring this. And as we take communion this morning, I want you to come and take your communion. And I want you to go and stand back in your place and wait. Put up your hand this morning if you need Jesus. If you've got a need, you need Jesus to meet you. Come on, there must be more hands in there. Even I need Jesus. Amen. I always need Jesus, let me tell you. Maybe you've been fantasizing. Maybe it's just been a nice story. Maybe it's been a non-essential in your life. You know what? I don't have to watch Marvel's Avengers. Ugh, I don't know who it is. The Avengers or whatever. I don't have to watch Batman. I can live without my daily dose of series, but I cannot live 1 second without Jesus Christ. Amen? And this morning, church, my heart has been to encourage you that you serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and there's nothing, nothing that you may need that he's incapable of. For with him, nothing is impossible. But you need to come away from the thought that he's just a good man. He's maybe just a prophet. Maybe it's just a coincidence that my prayer will be answered. No, it's not. This, as we take the communion this morning, this represents the shed blood of Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. This represents his broken body, broken for you and me. Not a storybook character. Not something in our imagination. Not somebody we can even fantasize about. Don't fantasize about Jesus. You can't fantasize about that which is real. Amen? We prayed this morning. We're two or three are gathered. There you are in our midst. And I thought about how badly we pray. Because then we say, Lord, will you please come into our meeting? You don't have to pray that. Because his word says, where two or three are gathered in his name, there he is. We need to pray, Lord, help us to be aware of your presence. Help us to be aware of the fact that you're with us. Because you said you're with us. Amen. We've got to change our thinking. It's done. It's done. Your sins are forgiven, church. All you need to do is to link with it and confess. Say, Lord, I receive that forgiveness that's already mine. In Jesus' name. Lord, as people lift their hands this morning and say, Lord, I need you. I pray that we'll stop phantomizing you. That we'll stop having you as a good thought or a good story or a figment of our imagination or something nice that we like to have sweet little chats about. That we'll realize that you are Jesus, the Son of the living God. You're the creator of heaven and earth. In you all things are held together. In you we have our salvation. In you we have healing. In you we have deliverance. In you we have financial problems solved. In you we have work. In you we have our relationship issues sorted out. In you our broken heart is healed. In you our depression flees. In your name demons flee. And those that would come against us spiritually, they made nothing. Because we are not afraid of spirits. Because we serve the God that is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords.